True freedom is being forgiven of sin, reconciled to God, and released from Satan's grip so we can live out our purpose with joy. Have you experienced this freedom yet?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Against the rancorous debate over the question of freedom and personal liberty and the resulting turmoil and violence in the streets of our nation, Pastor Brian Grant brings the clarity of God's Word into the equation. Last week, we heard how, exposed to God's infallible Word, the Bible, the world's concept of freedom is shown to be deeply flawed. But centered on the text of Romans chapter 6, Pastor Grant brought before us four keys to finding true freedom. He continues that message this evening. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings to a conclusion, how can I find true freedom?
But I want to talk to that person who's saying, and it could be that you're a Christian, and you're saying, I wish I could be free from sin. I just want you to know that Jesus can release you from every type of bondage. You may be dealing with every type of bondage. Let me put another verse of scripture on the board for you, an easy one. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36. I hope you'll really hold on to some of these verses. We don't just put them up. We want you to go home and look them over in your own Bible. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Or as my Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen? You are really free. If Jesus Christ sets you free, young person, are you sure you have been set free by Jesus? Have you received him into your heart? If you do that, he will set you free. But you're going to see in a moment, it's not just a matter of a decision. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Amen. Jesus can release us from any and every type of bondage. For Jesus is a bondage-breaking Savior. Aren't you glad about that? He's a bondage-breaking Savior. Amen. Listen, write this in your notes. We can only experience true freedom when we are released from Satan's grip by God's power. That's the only way to get freedom. Freedom requires being released from Satan's grip. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. We have a chain-breaking Savior. The Bible calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who died on the cross, amen, and he rose triumphantly. He died for our sins, and the third day he rose triumphantly from the grave, and by God's grace, today he's able to save to the uttermost, amen. He's able to save to the uttermost. As one preacher said, he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. All who come to God by him. And my friend, no matter what you're struggling with, whether it's alcohol or sexual addictions, it doesn't matter. I'm inviting you to come and find the chain-breaking, bondage-breaking Savior. Amen. Listen. If you come in sincerity and with a repentant heart, don't miss that business about repentant heart. It's not a simple prayer, Jesus, come into my heart. It's a heart that's coming in repentance. A heart that's coming to God and saying, God, I'm messed up. And I want you to change me by your mighty power. Deliver me. And God, by his grace, will respond to that person who is coming with a contrite heart, a sincere heart, a repentant heart. And by his grace, he will come into your life and he will give you victory over sin. Write this down. True freedom is being forgiven of sin, reconciled to God, and released from Satan's grip, so we can live out our purpose with joy. You see, there's an issue here of purpose. Unless you get released, you can never experience and live out the real purpose for which you are created. True freedom is being forgiven of sin, reconciled to God, and released from Satan's grip so we can live out our purpose with joy. Have you experienced this freedom yet? So what have I said so far? To find true freedom, we must not only reject the world's definition of freedom, we must also obtain release from our slavery to sin and Satan. But here's the third important thing. We must learn to live within God's boundaries. You know, I've met Christians who believe that since Christ has set us free, there should be no boundaries. Am I right about that? I should be able to do what I want to do. Because now, well, it's one thing, but now I'm a Christian. I should be able to do what I want to do. Go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Listen, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we what? Should no longer be slaves of sin. We should no longer be serving sin. Listen, when we become Christians, we still have to live within God's boundaries. You know, do you realize that that is actually a positive? I remember when I was, had hair that was black. Way up here. There's a benefit, I guess, of losing hair. But back then, I would always, there was a time when I would always want to live on the edges. Why can't I? Have you ever been there? Teenager. You ever had that struggle with your mom? Come on now. Have you ever talked to your mom and dad? Why can't I do this? Why can't I? But do you realize there is a benefit to boundaries? You know, a baseball player needs the foul line to play baseball. Did you know that? A football player needs the sidelines to play football. Am I right about that? Can you imagine if we were playing football on the Mission House ground and there were no boundaries? The quarterback could throw the ball in the air. And are you telling me that if he throw the ball on Staten Avenue, the defense has to run down Staten Avenue and catch him? Are you with me? The fact that there are boundaries causes everybody to focus on where the game really is. The boundaries focus our attention on the field of play. And because the boundaries are there to focus on the field of play, the players are able to have a better time and the spectators are able to have a better time. Everybody is having a good time. Listen, can you imagine you go down to the vet and you're trying to watch the game and they're throwing the ball outside the stadium and you can't even see after they pay all your big money. Everybody's benefiting because of the boundaries. Our attention is focused. And God, in his wisdom, he has set boundaries for the Christian life. Oh, I hope you're with me. Young person, I hope you're listening to me. There are boundaries for us as adults. There are boundaries so we can focus on the really important things. And as a result, we can maximize the benefit of the Christian life. The boundaries are designed to kick our enjoyment to the max. Put this down. The reason God provides boundaries is to help us take full advantage of our freedom. We tend to look at the boundaries as a negative. The boundaries is a positive. It helps us take full advantage of your freedom. So young people, even if your friends are having sex before they're married, God has set a boundary. You're listening to me? And he wants you to save sex for marriage. And I can tell you as a counselor that it makes a difference in your marriage. If you were not active and the other person was not active, it makes a big difference in your marriage. Save sex for marriage. And by the way, when the time comes to marry, don't just because she's cute and have hot legs. Why you marry her? Have you seen her legs? This poor boy, he don't know nothing about Jesus. Oh, kids look so cute. Huh? Give the boy a walk. Tell him. Oh, well, let me leave that alone. That's for another message. Amen? God's boundaries are designed to help us take full advantage of our freedom in Christ. So let's thank God for the boundaries. Young men, I hope you're listening to me. Those of you who are hanging around with these stuff and you're into all sorts of stuff, listen, the temptation to a young person to walk straight is so strong today. The devil is busy. Parents, you better be vigilant. By the way, let me say this. I want to be sensitive to every family. But I'm going to say it from time to time, because I believe God wants me to say this. Parents, you're making a big mistake, those of you who have still not returned to church. Some say, oh, we can watch church on TV. You are making a big mistake. Your children need to be in the family of God, to be with other believers. They need to be mixing with other believers. They need to be encouraged by some of the adults who will see them and encourage them. You are making a big mistake. You cannot raise your child for God by yourself. By the way, when I talk about the gender issues, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to try and help parents, because one of the only ways you are going to help your child stay straight is to hang out with more believers in Jesus, because your children are being sold a bag of goods that they should be and can be whatever they want to be. And you had better run to the church where they can find a family that will encourage them to go in a different path. Amen. But then let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. Oh, I don't know. You know, God has put so much on my heart. We're in tough times. We're living in some tough days. And we as leaders, pray for us. We don't have it all together. We're trying to get it together. This week, I'll be honest, this week was a challenge for us, because the more we reach out, the more we're realizing that, because we want everybody to come. And there are young people who are coming from environments that don't believe what we're saying. And so we need to develop policies as to how do we handle certain different things. Pray for us as we meet and strategize. And we're going to be meeting soon with all the leaders of children's and youth ministries. Once we come to something, and we probably will get input as well. But be in prayer for us as we deal with these issues. To find true freedom, we must obtain release from our slavery to sin and live within God's boundaries. But finally, to find true wisdom, freedom, fourth and finally, we must live in willing submission to God. We must live in willing submission to God. The day we got saved was a great day. It was a happy day, for we passed from death to life. But that was supposed to be the beginning of a great journey with God, not the end of the adventure. But to fully enjoy this new life with God, we must live in willing submission. And Christians, you better be paying attention now, because this is where sometimes we're off. Listen, we must be living in willing submission to Him. I'm in Romans chapter 6, verse number 18. And here's what it says there in verse 18. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness. God is saying a Christian, the Christian that is truly free, is the Christian who is willingly submitting themselves as a slave of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Christian who's truly free is the Christian who's saying, God, I only want to do what you want me to do. He goes on here in verse 22, and he says, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. God wants you and I to be willing slaves. There is a beautiful story that has always resonated in my heart. And it's in the book of Exodus, chapter 21. And this is the last scripture we're going to turn to. Exodus chapter 21. If you'll turn there with me. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, I'll give you a minute to catch up while I get some water. Verse 2, if you buy, Exodus 21, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve you 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. After the seventh year he is free to go, no cost. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife will go out with him. If his master has given a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, it's the seventh year, he is free to go. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, I love my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This man is free to go, and he says, no, I don't want to go, for I love my master. Are you there? Yes. We have received freedom in Christ. But what God is telling us in this passage in Romans chapter 6, that if we want to be truly free, we must live in willing submission, or if you want to put it this way, in willing slavery to God, so that the only thing I want to do is what God wants me to do. Are you there yet? You know, it's very easy for us to be Christians, and we get to a point in our lives where we have so much ambition. We have so much worldly ambition. We have so many interests. Oh, I want to be rich. I want to be this. I want to be that. That if we're not careful, we are still in slavery, because we're in slavery to our selfish and sinful ambitions. But you see, when I am willing, when I live in willing submission to God, the only thing I'm interested in is what does God want me to do? What is God's purpose for my life? When I am living in willing submission, that's where I am. God, what do you want me to do? And this morning, as we speak on this subject of how to find true freedom, God is challenging us, every single believer. He's challenging those who are unsaved. He's saying, it's time to come to me. But he's saying to those of us who know him, it's time to make a total dedication, to make a decision. God, I choose to be your slave. Are you there? Will you make that type of submission today? In New York Harbor, there stands a lady with a torch in her hand. We call her what? Lady Liberty. On her head is a crown with seven spikes, which speaks metaphorically of seven seas and seven continents. For Lady Liberty is telling people from around the world that they can come to America to find freedom. They can come with their problems and they can come with their burdens and all their needs. For Lady Liberty is holding up a torch to light the way. At the bottom of Lady Liberty's feet is a broken chain. For Lady Liberty is inviting the broken and bruised to come to America to find freedom. And some years ago, I was with my wife when we went to Ellis Island and she saw her grandfather's name in the books, in the registers in Ellis Island. He was one of the millions who had followed Lady Liberty's torch and had come to this great country. The freedom Lady Liberty offers is only partial and temporary. But today God offers true and permanent freedom to everyone. We can come with our problems. We can come with our burdens. We can come with all our needs. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Oh, Lady Liberty is special. But my Savior is ultra special. And today, no matter what your bondage is, he is willing to give you true freedom. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is willing to maximize your freedom as you willingly submit to him. And our Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, you may do a special work in every heart by the power of the Spirit.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.